Let us now turn for our scripture reading, which is found in the book of Exodus, the chapter 29. We read from the verse 38 into the chapter 30. This is the word of God. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, foursquare shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about, and two golden rings shalt thou make to it, under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it, shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them. When thou numberest them, this they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So shall they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto the principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall be even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, sadke, and onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord grant his blessing to that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. And may he do so to the glory of his name, and to the everlasting good of our poor and never dying soul. Congregation, turning your prayerful attention to those words which I read to you in your hearing from the book of Exodus, the chapter 29, the verse 38, through to the end of the chapter 30. And once again, seeking the Lord's gracious guidance and enabling this morning to minister his word to the profit of your souls and to the glory of his name. Here now, in the week by week, verse by verse ministry through the book of Exodus, we arrive in the chapter 29, the verse 38, concerning the sacrifice of the two lambs daily. We'll consider that, God willing, this morning. And then, with the Lord's help, we enter into the chapter 30, concerning the altar of incense and the brazen laver. We have already considered something of the half shekel that was to be collected, that atonement money, that redemption money that is referred to there. And we shall make some application concerning these things. Now we come really to the last section of details concerning the construction of the tabernacle today. And it's been many months since we have been engaged in this study, and I hope that you have not become weary of this, I suppose we could say, this section of the pasture of God's Word. like the people had become weary of the manna that fell from heaven every day. They did become weary. But these things that we are looking at, we will look for Christ in them. Christ who was the manna, as it were, and who is the manna. All these things speak about the Lord Jesus. Let us not grow weary in these things. But let us, as those Greeks who came into the tabernacle said, we would see Jesus. So while we're at this last section, I pray that again we will gird up the loins of our minds and that we will stir up ourselves and seek the Holy Spirit this morning to teach us these things which are essential to our understanding of what it takes to save a soul, what our redemption cost the Lord for us. These things that are types and shadows that speak to the Lord Jesus. Now, last time we saw, didn't we, as we were considering the priests, we have seen throughout this study of the tabernacle and the priests and the priest's garments, we have seen that all these things, the furniture, the garments of the priests, the high priest, and even last week, the detailed and comprehensive and essential consecration ceremony of the priests and the high priest, as they were set apart for this most important work to serve in this tabernacle, these things which speak to our redemption in the Lord Jesus, that not only was it a very comprehensive work, but it was a necessary work. The tabernacle couldn't function unless these priests were consecrated, and consecrated by Moses, who serves as a type of mediator, who serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, these things are, as Hebrews 10:1 says, shadows of good things to come. And the Lord Jesus is that good thing to come. And it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ can we be consecrated to any service for God. These are figures of the true types. And we saw, as they were consecrated, we saw several things concerning these priests. We think how 7 days they were to be consecrated. Now that not only spoke to the need of them to be thoroughly consecrated, seven always pictures thorough, doesn't it, in the scriptures, but it also speaks to constancy, the fact that they were 7 days. And we could say it like this, as God's people, we are to always be holy. If we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5 says that He has loved us and He has washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God. If the Lord has saved us, we are, spiritually speaking, kings and priests forever. And so this tabernacle and this priestly service also points to our lives, how we are to be committed as Christians 7 days a week, as they were consecrated for 7 days. Now, I know that's the consecration ceremony, but it also speaks typically to how we ought to be fully consecrated. Now, there are some people that are, we could say, 1 day a week Christians, but they're not really Christians. Come to church on the Lord's Day, but they live like the world the rest of the week. God's children are always to be holy in their lives. And that's a great question. How have we been since the last 7 days that we have met here? How have we been to the Lord? Have we been consecrated? Have you been consecrated? Some people sort of just do the bare minimum. Well, I come to church once a week. And the last time they prayed was maybe when they heard the minister pray. Haven't prayed, haven't read the Bible all week. Have you read the Word of God this week? Have you been engaged in the things of God? Have you been somebody that has been loving God? Of course, we don't love God perfectly. But are we a consecrated people? Are we a committed people? Well, if we are the Lord's, we are kings and priests after Him. We serve Him. Now, all of these things speak to the powerful and redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things are pictures of the true. Now, of course, the high priest foreshadows the Lord Jesus. We have one high priest, and we mustn't lose sight of that. But God's children are priests and kings. As kings, they rule. Sin no longer rules in them, but they rule now with Christ, and they are priests unto God. As Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Christ Jesus. And so we must ask ourselves, how have we lived this last week? The priests were to serve the Lord, and we are to serve the Lord. If we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus. You see, the priests needed the high priest. Without the high priest, they had no purpose. They had no office. And so it is for us. Without our high priest, the Lord Jesus, we have no redemption. This morning, as we continue on, we want to think just a little bit about these priests. We know they served for 20 years, from the age of 30 to the age of 50. Numbers 4 and the verse 3, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. So for 20 years, from the age of 30 to 50. And it's little wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he took up his earthly ministry, it is believed that he was 30 years old. So I think no incidental thing. But there were times also, if you turn to Numbers 8, 24, that some more junior roles could begin at 25. Numbers 8, 24, and this is it that belongeth to the Levites from 25 years old and upward, they shall go into wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they could come in and serve in some capacity, but as priest from 30 to 50. But the high priest, of course, typifying Christ, would serve for life. Now we know this as a fact, that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. So he was 83 at the time of him being consecrated as high priest. Exodus 7 and the verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. But as priest, from 30 to 50, this was a very arduous work. For just 20 years, day and night, constant work. He never sat down. This was a hard work, but also quite stressful. Because you think if he didn't wash his feet, wash his hands, when he goes in with that incense, he would die. So there was this tremendous burden upon them that he is treading here holy ground every day. A very sobering thing. You can imagine the tension, the stress, and wanting to do things right. And in a sense, as Christians, as we are priests, we should be very concerned to do things right for the Lord. Because God is holy, and God does not take service to Him or worship to Him with indifference. Worship is not just something we do here as we gather together, but worship is 24/7, isn't it? It's how we live before the Lord. We should be anxious to get things right in our lives as Christians. So those are just some closing comments with regards to this priesthood. Now we come this morning to the verse 38 to the verse 46 concerning these two lambs that were to be slain every day. And I must make a few observations. We've touched on this before, but I just want to make some observations as we read on. Note with me what they were to be offered with. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the same with the other lamb, the verse 41, we read on. So what do we notice here? In this daily offering of these two lambs were to be offered bread and wine. Because when you think about it, we have this flour, we have this oil, and that is how you would make unleavened bread. And here, thus picturing again, could God say in a more eloquent way, that these things concern my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Here these symbols, as it were, with the Lamb. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is, if any man in the world believeth on Him, he is the Savior of the world. And so we have here the hin of wine. And we have the flour and the oil, these two components which make the unleavened bread. And of course you have the heat of the fire, don't you? All these things here symbolizing what this lamb is. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ's words when he instituted the table, "Take, eat this bread, which is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament." In that cup was the wine, the fruit of the vine, picturing his blood. And here with the lambs, the wine and the flour and the oil, which when baked would symbolize that unleavened bread. What a wonderful picture we have here. Consider this, day after day, the Lord is saying to his people in a very clear way, "This pictures my dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ." It's little wonder that when our Lord Jesus Christ was eating that Passover lamb with his disciples, he took the bread and he took the wine with it, symbolizing all that he would do for his people. Also, this is where God would meet with his people. The verse 42, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." What a precious promise. This is where the Lord meets with his people, there, because of this lamb. And of course, where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord is there in the midst, isn't he? He's there, and he's there because of the sacrifice of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God." And this is the basis in which the Lord is our God, that he has given himself in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. How we ought to be encouraged as the blessed people of God, because the Lord Jesus is become our Lamb. And so today we meet in his name, and we trust that we might see more of the Lord Jesus Christ as we continue on. Though Moses, he couldn't atone for their sin, yet he was to be the mediator, the one that goes before. But the Lord Jesus is the mediator and is the one who goes before us right now, who speaks on our behalf. Now we move to the chapter 30, to the altar of incense. Now the Lord has deliberately left this detail up to this point concerning the construction of the tabernacle and the consecration of the priests, because the priests could not approach to this altar of incense until they were consecrated. And indeed, even having been consecrated, they still cannot approach to that altar of incense unless they wash, as we have read in this chapter 30, in the brazen laver. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So shall they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not." Water was put in there, and it's so for us. Unless we have been washed, as it were, in the blood of the Lord Jesus, we have no approach. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin. Now, what we will see is that this altar, it is an altar, this altar of incense represents our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ our intercessor, and this incense, it represents prayer. As the table of showbread is Christ, our sustenance, and as the lampstand, there were these three furniture pieces, the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and then the altar of incense, Christ our intercessor. But unless we have been washed, we cannot know the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And they had to be consecrated. Only the priests could enter into that place, and only the priests could offer incense on that altar. And so we want to consider this altar this morning. As I said, it was right in front of the inner veil of the holy place, not in the Holy of Holies, but in the holy place. And it was only for the priests. King Uzziah had to learn this himself, firsthand. He didn't listen. If you turn with me to 2 Chronicles 26 and the verse 16, we remember that King Uzziah, who was warned, thought he knew better. In 2 Chronicles 26, 16, we read, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests," that's 80 priests of the Lord, "that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So there were 80 priests there, and he didn't listen to them. He thought he knew better. "I'll just offer up. I am the king. I'll offer up incense on the altar." Now, the priests, as we've read here, not only had to bring the correct incense, but they had to bring the coals from the brazen altar where the animals were sacrificed. And Nadab and Abihu cost them their lives. They were warned that it had to be the live coals from the brazen altar that they mingled with the incense that they put there upon the table of incense. But they didn't do that. They brought their own fire in their senses. And we know how the Lord devoured them. Numbers 3, the verse 4, "And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai." Now this reminds us that God doesn't treat this altar with indifference. It's not up to us, however well-intended we might be, to offer up to God what we think. You know, some people think they can just worship God any way they want. God, as we read in the Psalm 89, is greatly to be feared and to be had in reverence by all them round about. And I ask today, how have you come to chapel? How have you come here today? Have you come reverencing God? Are you reverencing God right now? You know, it tells by our attitude, doesn't it? So many little telltale signs. Do we care about the Lord? It does matter how we worship the Lord. Every detail the Lord is concerned about. Not only the right coals, but the right incense. This incense is spoken on in this chapter. Now there was also the rebellion of the sons of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. You turn to Numbers 16. It was the time when the sons of Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron and this priesthood. They wanted more authority and so on. And the Lord swallowed them up, their tents. God swallowed them up. The earth swallowed them up. I just read from verse 32. "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and their goods." But notice in the verse 2. "And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown." This is not here the men of Korah as such, but men from different tribes. Korah was the one that stirred up this dissension, and Abiram and Dathan. But you notice these princes, they offered up incense before the Lord. And in the verse 35, "And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." Amongst the tribes, not only did Korah stir up the people and was his family, many of them consumed, but there were men amongst Israel who are described as princes, men of renown, men who had achieved some status in the community, that wanted to offer incense themselves. And so they took it upon themselves to get their own censers, to get their own fire, and to come with their own incense and to put it on this altar. How many? 250. And they were all consumed by the Lord. So not just Nadab and Abihu and King Uzziah, did they suffer because of their disobedience. And so this reminds us that this offering up, this was limited to functioning priests only. Only they could offer this up. But these men wanted to serve and they wanted a claim. You know, from the scriptures, we learn that this incense represents true prayer. Psalm 141, the verse 2, we read, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Do you see how the psalmist ties those two things here together? Now, this incense and the smoke rising up was a visual form. We have the substance, as it were, rather than prayer. It pictured prayer. It's not that the priest didn't pray. Please don't get that impression. This incense went up and the priest didn't pray. No, but it represented prayer. It was an outward form. Again, Revelation 5:8, we read about the incense. "And when he had taken a book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And again in Revelation 8 and the verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Now we think of this aroma rising, we think of the smoke and the aroma, and that really is what prayer is in the New Testament sense, isn't it? A sweet savor. And what the Lord, dear friends, does not approve of is this hypocrisy. You know, there are many people that want to pray at church. "Pastor, could you allow me to pray?" But the man doesn't pray at home. The man is not a godly man. He's not serious. He's not committed to the Lord. The point is, the Lord warns against hypocrisy. Think of the warning of our Lord concerning the Pharisees, who love to pray on the street corners, to be seen of men, to have their approval. But they never prayed in their closet. Now, of course, the priests, God's true, as it were, New Testament priests, the believers, because we've been washed in his blood, offer up true prayer to God because we love him, but we draw reverently. We come knowing that it is only through the Lord Jesus that we are accepted. And you see, the priests were reminded of this daily. As they approached that altar of incense, they had to wash in the laver. They had to take coals from the altar, the brazen altar, where the sacrifice was and where the fat was dripping. It was only those coals. And with their prayers, only then would the Lord hear them. And that's how all of God's true people are. They come in that blessed name of the Lamb of God. You see, they live a different kind of life because they realize that they are unworthy of God. And as the Psalm 130 in the verse 4 says, "There is mercy with thee that thou mayest be feared." The people that truly know the mercy of God fear God, and they respect God, and they hold God in awe. And they're not people like these 250 princes who just want to come and give God what they have to offer. And there are so many people like that. They serve God the way they want, not the way God says. And God says, "Give me thine heart." That is it not what God requires? Doesn't he require a broken heart and a contrite spirit and a life consecrated to him? Do you see the imagery of the priest? 7 days, full consecration. That is the prayer that the Lord receives. The consecrated life. the broken heart and the contrite spirit. The Lord will not despise these ones. The people that think that they can come and just offer God anything they want, not acceptable to God. Now this altar was very small. It was a cubit square, cubits 20 inches, 2 cubits high. It was as large as it needed to be. It's a picture again, as prayer only needs to be as much as it needs to be. We don't offer up long, arduous prayers. But again, it also pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was made, as was the Ark of the Covenant, made of shittim wood, but overladen with gold. And of course, when we pray, who do we pray through? The Lord Jesus said, when you ask, ask in my name. And you see, it's carried by staves, there are golden rings, just like the Ark of the Covenant. And so we must remember that as we come in prayer to the Lord, we only come because of the Lord Jesus. We are his priests. Now, also upon this altar, I forgot to mention, there were horns in the four corners. And it was only once a year, if you read this chapter, that those horns received blood. On the Day of Atonement, on the great Day of Atonement, blood was applied to those horns. And so, what is the Lord saying? It's through the sacrifice once for all, the Day of Atonement, that God will receive our prayers, the sacrifice of his dear Son. We read here that no, it was not an altar on which an animal could be slain. Did you read that in this passage? Animals couldn't be slain upon it. It was forbidden. And so this is very different to the Roman Catholic altar. They have an altar, and on that altar they have their mass, and the wafer is broken, and they say, Christ is sacrificed again. They have an altar, and that really they're saying, Christ is sacrificed again. That's blasphemy, isn't it? But we have an altar, as Paul says, and Paul says, whereby we may come boldly into the presence of God. Paul says in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. That altar was consecrated because of that blood that was applied. And we can come to God the Father through that new and living way of his dear Son. So that altar received blood once a year. And it speaks of that once for all sacrifice sins whereby we may have acceptance with our Father. You see the picture developing? Christ has been sacrificed for us. And so nothing could be sacrificed on this. Our prayer is not a sacrifice, is it? But we offer prayer through our sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we receive. But many were thinking that they were these men coming with their own senses. This is some sort of sacrifice. Oh no, it must be from the coals of that altar where the lamb was slain and burnt. Only that. And it is only through the Lord Jesus that we may approach. Not our own coals, not our own incense. It's through him that has loved us and washed us in his own blood. We are only accepted in the Beloved. Oh dear friends, if you have received this truth, you are humble. You are truly changed, and these things move your heart. As I said, slaughter forbidden, verse 9, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon, but the Lord Jesus is our sacrifice. And so again, I point to this very fact that it is only through the Lord Jesus, and any other altar. This is why we don't have an altar in this church. But the Church of Rome, and even now the Church of England, has an altar. But our Lord Jesus is the altar by whom we come to the Father, having been slain for us. All the Eastern Orthodox churches burn incense, even at their services. So do the Roman Catholics. So now do the Anglicans. For many years, the Anglican Church banned incense. For many years. But it's back again now, as it is in Rome. It's increased ever so much more in the Church of England. But you see, this pictures true prayer. It rises up. We don't need, here we've got the types, we've got the shadows of what the Lord requires, friends, is true prayer from a consecrated heart that desires to do God's will and not your own. Remember what David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friends, and we've got to realize that again and again, if we continue to disregard the things of God and continue to do things our own way, the Lord will not hear us. We have no right to say that we are Christians if we continue to do things our own way and reject God. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If we turn away from doing God's law, our prayer is a stench in the nostrils of God. Now, think of our Lord's continuous prayer. Let's try to close with a few things this morning. If our Lord Jesus never knew what it was to pray before he came into this world, and yet he prayed as much as he did, how much ought we to pray? He was constantly before the Father, always before the Father. But yet when he came into this world, he was the one who prayed, and he took great interest, didn't he, in teaching his disciples how to pray. But there's a warning, isn't there? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense and make a long prayer. Let us remember that God, he knows the heart of prayer. He examines every heart. He's given us his prayer and his word. He's taught us how we ought to pray with reverence and godly fear. How wonderful it is to pray. What a privilege it is. But do we realize, you see, this is such an important aspect, isn't it? This coming to God in this way, if it's done wrong, it'll be to our detriment. Consider the power of prayer. Elijah's prayer opened up the heavens. He prayed. He prayed the will of God. He prayed what God said would happen, but it was through that prayer that the Lord opened up the heavens. Daniel's prayer shut the mouths of lions. Think of Isaac's prayer with Rebekah. They prayed for 20 years for a son, but the Lord gave them two in the end. The power of prayer. David's prayer. Think of David's confession in prayer, brought him pardon, forgiveness of sins. Think of Hannah's prayer as she prayed that the Lord might be honored in the giving of a son and that that son would serve the Lord in his temple. And what an answer to prayer Samuel was. Samuel was a goodly man, faithful man. Think of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus. We read how Elizabeth was barren for many years, but there was Zechariah offering up incense and praying to the Lord. And the Lord gave a son, John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there are countless records with regards to prayer, but we must remember that this is something we must take very seriously. While it is a great privilege, and it is, we must not treat it lightly. The way we approach God in prayer is our worship to God. He will not hear the prayers of those who decide to do their own will. You know, there's so many people, it's kind of like this. Everything to them is an answer to prayer. You know, they make a decision and they say, it's an answer to prayer. It's an answer to prayer. So now everything to them is an answer to prayer. Even when they're heading in a direction in their lives that has nothing to do with obedience, everything for them is an answer to prayer. Some people haven't learnt that there is such an answer as no from God. You know, some people just keep praying, and yet the Lord has very clearly said, my answer is no. It's not right that you go on in this direction. I've heard people who take the first job opportunity, and it's not a work of necessity, like a doctor or a nurse or something like that, and it's a job on the Lord's day, and they say, oh, that's an answer to prayer. That's not an answer to prayer. I don't believe that God answers prayer that will direct us further away from him. Do you? I don't believe that at all. What are you saying is an answer to prayer? What is it to ask in faith? It's to ask with a desire to do what God has expressly said in His Word I should do, and I will do it. Whatever the answer is, I will do it. I will go on in His way, not my own way. To fully commit myself to God, to be fully obedient to Him, that's what God desires. God doesn't change. God knows what's best for us. Sometimes people cannot see further than their noses. They see just what is temporary. God has a better design in us waiting for something. And we should wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Some people, as again I say, they say everything is an answer to prayer. And they color their rebellion with this claim. It's an answer to prayer when they live in open violation to God's word. I wonder where you are today, friends, where the Lord Jesus tells us to pray, and God's people are to be a people of prayer. In Luke 19, I close with this, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that thus sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I wonder today, were you at the prayer meeting this morning? Did you come? You see, because the prayer meeting really says a lot about us. Do we want the Lord's will to be done? Do we believe that He is a prayer-answering God? Do we desire Him to hear our prayers? Do we have a heart for the things of God? We're not just to serve God as we want, but we're to seek Him in prayer, and to seek Him with a whole heart. Well, friends, I feel like there's a lot I've missed out this morning. There's been a lot of noise in the background, but I hope that I've said something that'll be of some help to you this morning. Let us come to God with a pure heart, a broken heart, and a contrite spirit, not violating His laws, but keeping His laws, and trusting that He will answer those who seek Him in truth, and who want to serve Him with a whole heart. May the Lord examine all of our hearts, and may we offer up to Him praise, thanksgiving, and acceptable prayer through His dear Son. We come to Him who is our altar, who has shed His blood for us, and by whom the Father is pleased to receive our prayers. If we come through Christ, it's a sweet aroma to our Father in heaven. Let us come humbly through this altar, which is Christ. This altar of incense, Christ, our intercessor. Whatever ye ask in my name shall be given to you. Let us come through Christ humbly and for His glory. Amen.